tonight we will, Be'ezah Hashem Yisbarach, close the series that we began several weeks ago on the topic of the work ethic from a Torah perspective. The shiur will be divided into two segments. One is a brief overview of the tshuva of Hagoyin Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz, the Rosh Yeshiva of Kamenitz, the Talmud Muvok of Rav Chaim Briske, and someone who was certainly a great tzaddik and a great go. And that's found here in the Marmar Komos that we sent out from page 16 all the way through page number 20. And the second segment, I'll share with you that which I heard from my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal in 1975 on Talmud Torah and Kabbalah Samach Shemai. On page number 16, Hagoyin Rav Baruch Ber, the Kamenitz Rosh Yeshiva, was asked regarding two different approaches that he really contrasts in this tshuva. One is the Torah-only approach, and the other is the approach that was commonly known as Torah, or Torah and Derech Eretz, the approach of Hagoyin Rav Shimshon Froel Hirsch, Hagoyin Rav Zil Hildesheimer, Zecher Tzadikim Livracha. For those who are interested, I'm sure you may or may not be aware of a pamphlet of Kuntres that was published many decades ago by Hagoyin Rav Shimon Schwab, Zecher Tzadikim Livracha, who was the Rav in Breuers for a fair number of years. And he addressed this question. And to a certain extent, Rav Baruch Ber as well addresses this question. On page number 16, the second paragraph, he indicates that he is addressing the forces, the secular forces, and the many, many challenging movements that existed from the days of the Haskalah and on. And obviously they attempted to, in many respects, to undermine the Torah. But he acknowledges, and certainly I would say even indicates that Hagoyin Rav Shimshon Froel Hirsch probably was responsible for saving German Jewry. And Rav Baruch Ber acknowledges that very clearly. And can say there, whenever he cites him, he speaks as a gaon and a great tzaddik, someone who understood the winds that were that time in Germany and elsewhere in terms of the emancipation, in terms of Haskalah, and all the kinds of secular forces that were operating. And there was a need to counter that. And that was the basis for the position of Torah and Derech Eretz, combining two different approaches and trying to find somehow a compromise or some sort of a effect, some sort of rapprochement between the two. But of course, clearly Torah is the preeminent element that was involved. And then he goes on in the end of the paragraph and indicates that the reason for his opposition, the reason why he contended that the Torah-only approach is the ideal approach, and certainly one that should be adopted by every single Jew, is because of the secular culture and the alien philosophies and the hashkafa and the values that are clearly found in the secular world and in universities in general, and in secular culture in particular, that is inimical to Torah values, very much antagonistic, very much antithetical to what the Torah is all about. And that's the reason why he is clearly opposed to this entire concept. He goes on the bottom of page 16, and he describes the Gemara in Kiddushin, the Gemara that is well known to all of us, but he is incredibly fixated and focused on one idea. When the Gemara said, "V'shinanto l'vanecha, and then he cites the Gemara and also the Rambam, indicating, as he understands it, the obligation upon every father to teach his son Kol HaTorah Kula. As we know, there's a distinction between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebichsav, one does that bischar. There's compensation that has to be given to the Rebbe, to the teachers. Torah Shebal Peh, the Gemara Becheres, has to be done b'chinam. The only eterim are schar batala, schar shimut tinokos. So on page number 17, Rav Baruch Ber continues, and quotes from an essay from Rab Chaim Briska, Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, where apparently an essay which is entitled Darko Shel Torah. And he writes there on the top of 17, the upper right-hand corner, on line number 3, Ki kol ish mi Yisrael ashehu mekamis v'limon ha-Torah libno mistavik atzma v'zeh shemalamin oso lefi bidui daito. Someone who essentially takes the approach that I can teach my son superficially, there's no need to really engage my son in the most profound way as far as Torah knowledge is concerned, and somehow assumes that this is going to be sufficient to handle the forces and the winds of change that are essentially everywhere. So that is something which is absolutely, according to Rav Chaim Briska, totally unacceptable, totally unconscionable, and that Rachmana Litzlan can have disastrous consequences. He cites the Gemara that I happen to mention on Friday night, Kol HaMelamed LeBen Chaveo Torah Ki LeKibla Me'ar Sinai. And he understands that Gemara as referring to the obligation to literally be mashvish Torah, that Torah should be rooted, the emunah of Torah. I mentioned this Gemara in the context of a wonderful Shalom Zocher that I was zeicha to attend. And I noted from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal that he commented that this Gemara is designed to tell us about the obligation of even a grandfather to teach his grandchildren Torah, but the distinction between a father and a grandfather is both are obligated to teach both a father, his son, Torah, and a grandfather, his grandchild, Torah. But the primary function of a grandfather is to pass on the Masorah, what the Ramban calls in Sefer HaMitzvos, the Eish HaTorah, the fire of Torah, that is to transmit to his grandchildren. And that's what Rav Bachmer, he as well, understands that Gemara, Ki LeKibla Me'ar Sinai. We want to make sure that our children and grandchildren are ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, but not in a very cursory and superficial kind of way, but in the deepest, most profound way imaginable. And he goes on and refers to a chakira of his son-in-law, Agon Rav Reuven Gazovsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. This is on Os Gimel. Whether the din of Talmud Torah is the same as other mitzvahs that the Mishnah writes in Kedusha and Achotes that devolve upon a father. Namely, the Mishnah and the Braisa speaks about Chiyuvi Aval Aben. The Gemara talks about Mila, circumcising one's child, Pinyin Aben. Mechiyuvi Aben Alaav, the father has to be Mekayim, as the Gemara says, Av Chayim Lamolo, Livdoso, Lamdo Torah. So seemingly, the way the Gemara presents it, Talmud Torah is equated with the other obligations. And Rabbi Ben Gazovsky, Kler Chakira, is that so? Or do we assume somehow Yesh Makom Mechalek between Talmud Torah and all the other mitzvahs? And essentially, Rabbi Chaver, in the context of this tshuva, indicates that there is a distinction between the chiv of Talmud Torah and other mitzvahs. If you look on page number 17 in the left-hand column in the middle section, he writes there are two separate mitzvahs when it comes to Talmud Torah. The Bonim Aleph, he writes, Mitzvah sa'av mishum chiyav Talmud Torah shemechiyav kolodim lalami Torah l'sheben b'no kodim b'chalodim b'no kodim l'ben b'no. The obligation of teaching Torah to one's child, to one's grandchild, that applies really, the Rambam quotes it in the context of teaching Torah to every Jew. It's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch as well, he quotes it in Os Gimel, Simi Resh Mem Hei, Sivkot and Zayin. That is different than the mitzvah of Mila and Pinyin Aben. Those are mitzvahs that devolve upon the father. And if the father is around, there's an obligation that he has to carry that out. But the mitzvah of Talmud Torah to a child is no different than the mitzvah of Talmud Torah that a Jew is obligated to teach all of Klal Yisrael. There's a chiyuv to teach Talmud Torah to every member of Klal Yisrael. But of course, regarding the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the banim, there's a separate obligation that one has to compensate the Rebbe, as I mentioned before, the distinction between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. And if one is in a position where one can, in effect, hire a Rebbe, and one is in a position that the Rebbe doesn't require any compensation, that's, of course, the ideal. But that's not possible. And, of course, we compensate the Rebbe, as we mentioned earlier, whether it's Schar Batova, Schar Shima Tilokos. But this obligation is different. The obligation of teaching Torah is different than all the other obligations. And that's the Chakira of Rabbi Ben Gazovsky, Zatzal. But he goes on to say on page number 18, and this is really probably his major chiddush. The major chiddush of Hagadah Baruch there, there's a distinction between all the other mitzvahs in Talmud Torah. He contends that Talmud Torah is a perpetual, nonstop obligation. It's a 24-7 obligation that one is mechuyav to learn Torah. One is not allowed to be masiach das from Talmud Torah, even for 1 second. Other mitzvahs, he indicates, whether it's a mitzvah of tzitzis or any other mitzvah for that matter, are markedly different in the sense that there's an obligation that a person should obviously wear a four-cornered garment in order to be chayv in tzitzis. That's what the Gemara says in Melachis. If one does not wear a four-cornered garment in order to patri himself, so chas v'shol, b'idda d'rischa, at the time when Hashem is angry, he will, in effect, mete out the consequences of that. But tzitzis is an obligation, in effect. Each second that a person wears tzitzis, there's a separate chiyuv, or if you will, a separate kiyum mitzvah. Person who's lavush with tzitzis, kol rega v'rega, is being mekayim mitzvah. There's a mitzvah kiyumis, there's a chiyuv to wear tzitzis, a mitzvah kiyumis, one wears tzitzis. However, says Hagadah Baruch Ber, page number 18, in the right-hand column, middle paragraph, begins with Nira Debira Mishnah. He says, Avo b'teira hu chiyuv echad. It's one ongoing chiyuv. Dechal b'shas kima, the moment the person wakes up in the morning, is an obligation to learn Torah. Lasos limut shel kol hayom. Dechein b'alayla. Pasuk says, v'hagisa bo yom v'alayla. The obligation to learn Torah day and night. B'li hefsek, b'li hafsaka. An ongoing kind of chiyuv. Of course, there's no comparison. You can't compare every single member of Klal Yisrael regarding this chiyuv, as he mentions here in this paragraph. Ein achiyuv azeh shavah b'chalish v'ish mi'Yisrael. Gagom. Le'echot sh'nizdami mitzvah. Odover achesh hu gam kim mitzvah mafsik. They are heterian to be mafsik in this mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. The heterim are parnasa. The heterim are umnis. The heterim are obligations that a person has. But essentially, what one is doing, one is, in effect, exempt during those moments that one has a heter, has permission, has a dispensation, not to become involved in the study of Torah. But other than that, the chiyuv is an ongoing chiyuv, a perpetual chiyuv. So, my Rebbe, Har Soloveitchik Zatzal, indicated this when we finished actually the first parak of Chulin, 1973, and there was a siyum, and Har Soloveitchik said over the following shtickel Torah, which I'm very fond of, and I believe this is exactly what Baruch Be'er is saying as well. Namely, Teshes Tekashi, Brachas Dav Yeral from Abayz, Tekashi Ol Rishenim asked, why is it that Birchas HaTorah is recited once a day? When we know that in the course of the day, people are involved in other enterprises and other activities, Parnasa and the like, eating and drinking and the like, b'chulu b'chulu. And yet when one enters the sukkah, so each time one enters the sukkah, one makes a bracha leishem ha-sukkah, and then one leaves the sukkah for an extended period of time, and once one leaves the sukkah, you come back a few hours later, you make another bracha leishem ha-sukkah. So in the course of the day, you can make 3 or 4 brachas leishem ha-sukkah every time you enter the sukkah. Matter of fact, yadua, that the briskers, and there are many who follow this practice, that the knis of the sukkah, just the entry into the sukkah, is mechayev b'bracha leishem ha-sukkah. I'm not discussing that at this point in time, but Tosfos says, why is there a distinction? Why should there be a difference between the mitzvah of sukkah, that there obviously are interruptions, and brachas ha-Torah are also interruptions, many interruptions in the course of the day. People go to work. As I said, people are involved in all kinds of other activities, sundry activities and varied activities, and yet they only make a bracha once a day. So Tosfos answers in a very beautiful fashion, shiny Torah. Torah is different. She'eino miyayish daito. There's no yayish from Torah, or in the words of Rav Soloveitchik, there's no hesek hadas from Torah. She'nema v'agisa v'yom v'alayla. Tosfos quotes the pasuk in Sefer Yehoshua, Perek Aleph, that Torah does not permit, does not allow any kind of hesek hadas, any kind of diversion, any kind of diversion from the course. Mashen kein sukkah, there is a hesek hadas. Person makes a bracha leishem ha-sukkah, eats in the sukkah, then leaves for a number of hours. And then, of course, at that point in time, a few hours later, once again, you enter the sukkah, perhaps for another meal. And again, you're going to make a bracha leishem ha-sukkah. I think I mentioned a number of times that I was zoicha on a number of occasions to go and be mevaker the Gadol HaDor, Agoyin Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, on Sukkos, where he used to stay the entire Sukkos in the Sukkah of his son-in-law, Agoyin Rav Moshe Tendler, Shlita, Yibod L'chaim Arukim. So Rav Tendler was Mareach, his Shver, every Sukkos, and he had a Sukkah basically in the living room. The living room had a retractable roof that could be removed with a button. And as a result, Rav Moshe was there the entire Yom Tov of Sukkos. Basukkos teishvu shivas yomim, pshuto kemashmo. Teishvu kein toduru. The only recourse Rav Moshe had to leave was when he went to use the facilities, which was on the side of the living room. Other than that, he slept there. He ate there, he learned there, the entire Yom Tov of Sukkos. So it could very well be that Rav Moshe Feinstein only made one bracha of Leish Shabbat Sukkah on a daily basis. That I did not ask, I did not inquire. I've been curious about it for many decades. But most of us do not have that, are not able to relish in that kind of surrounding. And we enter the Sukkah and leave the Sukkah. So what does Tosfos mean? Rav Soloveitchik gave him a mashal the ma'ad davar doima when he said to see him on the first paragraph of Chulin. This is 1973. It was one of the most remarkable moments of my being in that shir. Mashal the ma'ad davar doima to a mother and father with a young child. The young child is about to go to school, about to go to cheder, about to go to yeshiva. Here in Eretz Yisrael, I don't know what they do in South Africa, but here in Eretz Yisrael, the child had. Seems to me they're about 1.5 years old, 2 years old. They're already sauntering outside. Usually they have these backpacks or pekalach they're wearing that are twice their size. You barely see the young man. You just see this massive pekel that he has walking the street. Looks like a pekel is walking in the street. And it's the most beautiful sight in the world. And they're coming to the cheder, the yeshiva, the school, wherever they're going to. The Beit Sefer Yisodi, and they're accompanied, of course, by their mother and father. It's their initial entry. Matter of fact, here in Eretz Yisrael, it's quite common. And I saw this with came out all my grandchildren in Eretz Yisrael since I moved to Eretz Yisrael. Vash v'cholav tachas l'sheinech. And there's an entire ritual with the talis and with honey. I won't get into all the details of that right now, but certainly it's a very beautiful notion. Really an absolutely wonderful notion that you see very much in Eretz Yisrael, more so than Chutz Laaretz, among a thousand reasons why you should come to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Feinberg, I'm trying to list them for you. As time goes on, you'll hear more and more. But whatever the case is, so they come to the school, they come to the yeshiva, they come to the cheder, they come to the Beit Sefer, and right away, Rav Soloveitchik said, the father who accompanied his wife to the school. And now the father, of course, is relieved that the little child, 1.5, 2 years old, 2.5, 3 years old, whatever, is now going to be going to the cheder, to the yeshiva. And Baruch Hashem, as Soloveitchik said jokingly, he says, Baruch Shem Torani Me'on Shol Shol Zeh. The child is not bar mitzvah, but the father recognizes that not easy to raise a little child, to be mechanich, a young child. The mother is in a state of, on the one hand, she is extremely excited about the child going to school. On the other hand, she is incredibly wary, frightened, and in an emotional, volatile kind of state. She's about to give over her child to the ganenet or to whomever is running that gan. And who knows what's going to be with the little tata, the little mamala? Who knows they're going to be in good hands? Who knows that they're, you know, many years ago in the United States, there was a insurance company called Allstate, and they had this advertisement. You're in good hands with Allstate. If you have Allstate insurance, that's like Girsa de Ankusa, Le Mishtakha for me. So you don't know what's going to be over there in that gun. Will they handle the child properly? Will Chas v'Shalom, the child might be, God forbid, if the ganenet says wrong thing to a child and the child starts to cry, might be traumatized for life, may affect the shiduchim, who knows what. Anyway, so the child is given over, but what happens? The mother is absolutely in a state of enormous amount of anxiety and angst. She's sort of stressed out. And so she says to her husband, okay, we have to stay here a little bit. Okay, so the husband He wants to be misameach his wife. Of course, he stays with her half hour, an hour, and she's busy looking into the, generally there's some sort of a window, usually a small window, some sort of an aperture. Perhaps you can hear what's going on. Perhaps you can see what's going on. And she's busy until the teacher realizes what's happening, and they put a piece of paper covering that window, and no longer can you see anything. So then she tries, maybe I can go through the lattices, who knows what, to see what's happening there, because chas v'shalom, there should be any kind of trauma to my tatala, my mamala, whomever it may be. And at one point, of course, the husband says to his wife, listen, I have to get to work. I have things to do. We have to go home. Okay. So after 2-3 hours, they go home. But said Rav Soloveitchik, so the father, he sighs a sigh of relief, Baruch Hashem, I can get on to my life. Hopefully the cheder for this 1.5-2-year-old child will go to 8 o'clock at night, and I'll be able to be free. I'll be able to be exempt from all my obligations. And the mother is absolutely wringing her hands, and perhaps even more so wringing her heart. So the Rav said there are two types of awareness. One he called acute awareness. When the child is directly under the thumb of the parents, of course you're acutely aware of the child. When the child is not under the thumb of the parents, so then there's something called latent awareness. Who has that latent awareness? Only a mother. A father? Halavai, he should have acute awareness, said Rav Soloveitchik. Halavai that. Sometimes even that he doesn't have. But the mother, Rachmanu Litzlan, she will never be Masiach Das of a child. Not under any circumstances. Even when the child is not under her thumb, she's thinking about the little tata, the little mamala, what's going to be with them? Are they going to be all right? Will they be in good hands? Will they come out unscathed? Will they emerge in a positive kind of way? Never a Hesach Adas, said Rav Soloveitchik. That's the Pshat in Tosis. Shaini Torah, Shein Miyayish Daito. Torah is of such overwhelming, phenomenal proportions to us. Not for a moment are we Masiach Das in Torah. There's no Hesach Adas. Even there's no acute awareness. Right now, I'm not involved in the study of Torah because I'm working, because I'm eating, because I'm involved in some other enterprise. But chas v'shalom, there should never be a situation where there's no latent awareness. The moment I finish what I'm doing, the moment I complete my enterprises, the moment I finish eating and drinking, the moment I finish whatever work I'm doing, right away, my initial thrust is miyad to return b'yachzul l'talmudo, using the Lashon Rambam in another context. So chas v'shalom is no hesach hadas. I believe this is what Rabbi Achber is saying over here as well. The obligation of Talmud Torah is a perpetual obligation, nonstop, 24/7, no hesach hadas. Of course, there are times when we have exemptions. We have no choice. We have to work. There's umnas. There are other things that we have to do. But this yisod, that kol rega verega, and this yisod, he brings a raya from Mishnei Saliol, the beginning of Maseches Peah, the Gra, very famous goin, that when the Mishnah writes in Peah, that Talmud Torah, among the things, Eilu Dvarim She'elem Namshir, Lo Lamata V'lo Lamala, Shenema V'gisa V'yem V'alayla. So it's true that one is Yetzei, as we pointed out in the last year, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, Shachar Ze'arvis, one is Yetzei Talmud Torah, Perek Echa B'yem, Perek Echa B'alayla. But the ultimate obligation and the ultimate commitment to Talmud Torah is one that should envelop our entire personalities and be such where literally there's one ongoing, continuous retzef, a consecutive obligation, unlike other mitzvahs, as he points out here on the bottom of page number 18, lower left-hand corner, that each second is a new mechayim regarding tzitzis and other mitzvahs, mashenkin Talmud Torah, this ongoing, consecutive mitzvah of a perpetual nature, and this is the yesod that Hagaon Baruch Ber lays down. Just b'derech halotza, if I may, I'll share with you something that has been on my mind for many years. I'm in the world of chinuch, Baruch Hashem, many, many decades. And I teach young men. Many of them come from very limited backgrounds in terms of Talmud Torah and even Shemiras HaMitzvahs in many, many respects. And Baruch Hashem, it's a great schus to be able to open them up to the world of Torah and to try to deepen their commitment to the study of Torah and to the performance of mitzvahs, bedikduk rav. But often I encounter, especially at the beginning of their trek, the beginning of their odyssey, the beginning of their journey, that's not where they're holding. And often you have a young man who comes to the yeshiva, and he's confronted with a potential possibility of learning an entire day. Of course, that's way beyond where he is, way beyond his capacity at this point in time, way beyond his parameters. So he'll come for 15, 20 minutes, and he sits down and learns Ablat Gemara for half hour or so. And then he says, of course, I need a coffee break. Let me take a coffee break. Let me have a Psar Rogalach, something to refresh me. 15, 20 minutes. What a hashkah. What an incredible amount of energy that I expended. Okay. And after another 20 minutes of that, of a hefsek, of an intermission, he comes back. And Nochamol, he tries to attack the Gemara, but the Gemara is not the most exciting thing, especially if you're frustrated by your inability to read the text and you simply can't handle this Aramaic here, foreign languages, and who knows what. It's like the Lahavdil Swahili, something along those lines. And how am I supposed to navigate the shoals of this? I need another break. I got to talk to a few people. And he decides to take a little spazier to walk out and take a bit of a tiyul. And he goes on a tiyul. Doesn't realize it after a while, starts talking to this one and that one. Before you know it, it's a two-hour tiyul. But he says, oh, I got to come back. We're still, the Seder is still taking place. And he comes back to the Seder, towards the end of the Seder, and he feels good about the next 10, 15 minutes that he devoted to Talmud Torah, maybe go to a shir, but doesn't really know what the Rebbe is talking about. What does he want from me? And what is he demanding from me? And this kind of mahalach goes on throughout the entire day. So this is, I've been observing for many, many years, for many decades. And Baruch Hashem, people emerge from this and become B'nai Torah, and sometimes outstanding B'nai Torah, and sometimes Talmidei Chachamim, and sometimes even Baruch Hashem, really, they can become, individuals can become a Gavra Rabba, a great Talmud Chacham. But I ask myself the following. There are two Gemaras in Shas that I've always been intrigued by. One Gemara in the Dorim and one Gemara in Ksubis. And the Gemara tells us of Akiva, we know that he was someone who was not lettered, not very learned, and then he got married to the daughter of Kalba Sabua, and she was masking to be Mesa Nefesh so he could learn Torah. And then many, many years later, we know the back and forth, we know the Shmuz of going to Chaim Shulevitz Atzal, 12 years and 12 years with a Hefsek, would be a Hefsek. Okay, without getting into that entire discussion, I heard that Shmuz myself from going to Chaim many, many years ago. But something else troubled me. He goes now, after so many years of coming back, and he comes back with an entourage of thousands of Talmidim, and now they have to go ahead, and Yishver realized, wow, look at this. I disinherited him, and essentially I had to go ahead and undo that, which I did. It has to be negated, repudiated. So we have to find a Pesach. What's the Pesach? So there are two different Pesachim mentioned by the Rishonim. One Pesach is mentioned by the Ran. One Pesach is mentioned by Tasting Subis, and probably Tasting Subis is more famous on the Mishnah that a Talmud can go away for 3 years. So Tasis quotes the following statement, that a person goes to Beis Medrash and sits and learns, and he becomes a great Talmud Chacham, a Gadol Bat Torah. One who learns by Smada, Haraisa Shiachkim, the Gemara says, Yenida, Yarbe B'Yeshiva. What could be a great Talmud Chacham? So that was the Pesach. Rabbi Kiva Shver, he was able to Imatu Neder, because look what happened. Had I known that he becomes such a great Talmud Chacham, the great Tana Rabbi Akiva, I wouldn't take him the Neder. However, the Ran quotes in the Dorim the other Pesach. The Pesach was, had I known that he would know Perek Echad Ba'alocha Achas, I wouldn't have taken the Neder. So I said to myself years ago, what a gulf, what a chasm between these two statements. One statement says he'd become a Gadol Bat Torah, a great Talmud Chacham, a Gavra Rabba. The other statement says he should know Perek Echad Ba'alocha Achas. So I said this over in my yeshiva. I said, if you take the tack of learning 15 minutes and then going for Ragalach and coffee, and then noch 10 minutes, another 10 minutes, and then after that, 2 hours over to you, and you go on like that the entire day, halavai, you should know Perek Echad Ba'alocha Achas. Halavai, you should come to that. But if you learn Kemosh Tzarich, and you become a masmid, and a shakton, and you overcome all the frustrations and difficulties that exist for a novice, for someone entering the world of Torah, then you'll be able to mekayim the Gemara Ksubis, that a person has a chazokah, that you go into Beis Medrash, you learn for a number of years, you can become a Gavra Rabba, you'll become an Odom Gadol Bat Torah. So I believe Rabbi Chaim's main thesis, as I understand it, is the thesis that Talmud Torah is a 24-7 mitzvah, And it is punctuated by moments when I have no choice. I have a tour. I can go ahead and work for a living and eat and drink. And that essentially, I believe, is one of the main yesodes, which is really embedded in that thesis in Brachos. Shiny Torah, Shainim Yayish Daito. There's no Hesach Adasim Torah. There's an Isra of Hesach Adasim Torah. Torah has to be the focus of my life. So in that vein, I want to share with you what I heard from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal in 1975. He pointed out that he was a Rosh Hashiva his whole life, the major part of his life, and Torah had a tremendous impact on him. He feels that when he teaches Torah, he feels the breath of eternity, the breath of Nitzrius in his entire body. And even when he's older, as he was when I was zeicha to learn from him, suddenly the moment he gets in front of a black gemara with Rishonim, he's rejuvenated, almost as if he's now 20 years old. Once again, he's given a new lease on life, and he indicates that he feels there's a presence hovering over his shoulders, someone he could, on whose shoulders he could cry, someone that he could demand words of solace and comfort. And he's indicating that he says shiurim several times a week in the yeshiva, and the shiurim are supposed to be an hour and a half. I never attended any shiurim Rav Soloveitchik that were an hour and a half. I know the shiurim that I attended, minimally 2 hours, sometimes three, sometimes four, sometimes five, and he led Mishnah, which was the whole day. Literally from the morning all the way to close to Shkia, when he went to Daven Mincha. And even though the Talmidim were much younger than Rav Soloveitchik, and he also indicated to us that in 1975, that on Shabbos, when he would come home, actually, he came home on Friday, so he would study with his son-in-law, with Hagoyin Rav Twersky Zatzal, and on Shabbos, he would learn with his grandchildren, with one grandchild, another grandchild, and he indicated that he always found Torah to have an unbelievable impact on him. It was an incredible experience that he always felt. It wasn't simply some dry, formal, intellectual kind of performance, but really it was experiential. The entire approach that he had, which of course was a brisk approach in methodology and analysis and conceptualizing and classifying and defining halachic matters, was something that absolutely transformed him. It was an all-encompassing, all-embracing involvement. It involved his mind. It involved his heart. It involved his entire persona. That's what he felt when he was involved in the study of Torah. Or as he cited the Ramban, both in Perish Al Torah, Ramban Sefer Mitzvah, who sees an asay and a lois asay in the Psukim, I mentioned it already earlier. V'idatam libanecha v'lidei vanecha. Every experience of Talmud Torah was an experience of transmitting the Maseirah, the Dere Deres. Both the Mitzvah Seh, the Mitzvah Seh Saseh, or he used to call it Rav Soloveitchik, when he would learn, it was a rendezvous with Hashem Yisbarach, a romantic rendezvous, that's how he described it, or he called it a date with the Shechina. He's having a date with the Shechina. I remember when I first heard that, I was rather taken aback by that language, by that expression. But he quoted the Yushalmi in Brachis, when a person stands before Hashem Yisbarach, as Klal Yisrael did in Charev, Be'ema b'yira b'reseis b'zeya. And anyone who engages in the study of Torah has that kind of experience. It's a experience which is overwhelming. It's ecstatic. It's metaphysical. It's ruchnius. And of course, at the end of the day, the study of Torah is an act of surrender. And that's why Chazal stressed the importance of humility, of anova. Only a humble person can become a great Talmud Chacham, because Limud HaTorah means we are meeting Hashem Yisbarach, a finite being meeting the infinite, the maker of the world, the creator of the universe. This should precipitate a sense of anova, and anova results in surrender. What are we surrendering to Hashem Yisbarach, said the Rav? We're surrendering the everyday logic. He called it the American pie logic, the logic of the businessman, the logic of a utilitarian person. And what logic have to we embrace? The logic of Maimon Har Sinai. We surrender our everyday rotzon, which is utilitarian and superficial, and now we have to embrace another rotzon, the rotzon of Hashem Yisbarach, expressed at Har Sinai. And the Rav said it's not simply drush and homiletics he's engaged in, but what we are doing is Kabbalah Salmachu Shamayim. We are accepting the Malchus of Hashem Yisbarach, and that's the reason that one is engaged in the study of Torah in order to connect to Hashem Yisbarach. It's the ultimate Dveikus. The Lomed HaTorah is someone who is completely and totally connected to Hashem Yisbarach. And of course, it's an attempt to pursue Emes, Chaye Olam, not Abasachenu, Toras Emes, Moshe Emes, V'Torasa Emes, and the truth in all Talmud Torah can only be achieved through Hasmada, through singular Torah thinking, through singular Torah understanding, using the methodology given to Moshe Rabbeinu, passed on from door to door, only by joining the ranks of the Chachmei HaMaaseirah. And he said that no one has any right to say, I discovered something which the Rashba didn't know about, which the Tzitzis didn't know about, which the Goyim had no knowledge about. I have a new approach to the interpretation of the Torah, which is completely new. We have to join the ranks of Chachmei Chazal, of the Gdoli Rishonim, the Gdoli Achronim, and we cannot go ahead and try to impose. He used actually a number of examples, whether we decide to understand the Torah because we are well-versed in psychology, or well-versed in some other discipline, and try to impose that upon the Torah. That's absolutely unacceptable. We have to literally yield, surrender to Hashem Yisbarach, surrender to the Torah, surrender to its principles, surrender to its guidelines. That is the ultimate obligation of anyone who's involved in the study of Torah. So he referred to a Rambam, a very well-known Rambam in Perek Gimel, Hilchos Tshuva, Halacha Ches. The Rambam speaks about individuals who are non-believers. And one of them he speaks about, he says, what does he mean by that? So our Soloveitchik said, whoever denies the authority of the Chachmei HaMaaseirah, according to the Rambam, under the category of Kofim Batera, not only those who deny that Nisach HaMayim, which is Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, Avodas Mishamidish is required, or those who deny Torah Shebal Peh, but even those who admit the truthfulness of the Torah Shebal Peh, but are critical of Chachmei Chazal as personalities, who find fault with Chachmei Chazal, fault in their character, fault in their behavior. They say Chachmei Chazal were prejudiced. Rachman Litzlan, to have such a position, one is considered to be a kofer, according to the Rambam. HaKofer b'perusha, one denies the authenticity of Torah Shebal Peh. Machish Magidera, he doesn't recognize the unbelievable level that Chachmei Chazal achieved. Of course, they were human beings, but human beings who literally reached incredibly high levels, primarily in terms of their character and the like. And this is essentially a yesod in our approach to Talmud Torah. And also, as you went on to discuss other chazokos, the very famous drasha where he discussed those who were trying to utilize Afkinu Rabbanu Kedushim Minei, and he was completely opposed to this entire approach. But I think what is critical and what emerged from that entire drasha and discussion was really that Talmud Torah essentially is not only an intellectual experience, but it's primarily a ruchniyistic, emotive, experiential, vacuous kind of experience of the highest of levels. And in order for one to achieve that, one has to surrender to Hashem Yisbarach. It requires enormous amounts of anova. And if one becomes an individual who's not masiach das, no esach das, shiny Torah shein meyayish daito, if one has that kind of commitment which people develop, Baruch Hashem, after years of learning Torah and after years of recognizing the profundity and seeing the Yad Hashem in every kotzel shayud, if one comes to that level, Baruch Hashem, there's no question, that's how we are zeicha in this world to Eilam Haba. We're zeicha to Netzach Netzochim. We're zeicha to eternity. We can enjoy eternity in this Eilam Hazeh with all of its gashmias. And of course, daily Torah, we're not into gashmias. That's the understatement of the year. The primary focus was ruchnias. Primary focus was connecting to Hashem Yisbarach. Halavai that all of us should be zeicha to that level, or mitzvah Hashem, to continue to strive to achieve those levels. I just want to end with a Baruch Ber summary on page number 20. He writes, lower left-hand corner, Hayotzi Midvareinu. Shal pi haTorah hachiyav debanu v'nei banu mitalmud Torah hu la'aseisam u'lishananam shiu ge'enei v'chachmei haTorah. I mentioned that the Rambam quotes this once in Hilchos Talmud Torah. The obligation that our children should become G'dol Yisrael. We should eat and drink properly. We should try our best to strive to be as healthy as we can so we can produce G'dol Yisrael. But the obligation of a father is to produce children who are G'dol Yisrael. Secondly, gymnasio, university. We spoke about this yesterday in the shir that we gave in terms of Hagoyin Labaran Alevi Salavesi Zatzal and his perspective and the story that was told by Bachber and Labaran's story. That is very problematic because of the culture, because of the values, because of the mores, because of the environment. And he indicates, as he said earlier, that Rav Chaim Briska, even B'Shas Muhammad, would not be matter even for Pikuach Nevesh, a Misrap and Batzi Asherah. But yesterday we clarified that matter from the prism of Hagoyin Labaran Alevi Salavetchik Zatzal. Beyond that, Limud HaChochmos B'Kvius. Of course, if one studies medicine in order to be a doctor, one has to. One studies dentistry to be a dentist, one has to. Whatever profession one is engaged in for Panosa, one has to be familiar with the profession, but the Rama says it has to be Bakroi Balma. Of course, Bakroi does not mean that one should not be competent. If we want to have a competent dentist and a competent doctor and competent professionals, no question about it. And at the end, he ends with the following paragraph. Achenu Noshuvana Ba'id Mayed. He's talking about the Haskalah and the sinister impact of the Haskalah movement that it had on Klal Yisrael in Ruchlius and the Koyach of Klal Yisrael at the end of the day. Bizman shekolo shel Yaakov nishma, kolo shel Esav is non-existent. And therefore, all of us have to try our best to go ahead and recommit ourselves to the study of Torah in the most expansive kind of way. L'rocha v'l'orech. And if we create that kind of shibud, undoubtedly, we'll be zolche, says, agoyin abach ber, l'gulaseinu, u'l'bias Mashiach zikeinu, v'mher v'yameinu, amen v'yamein.
Shukrach.